Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on X at Andy Herman NFL. I'm overjoyed to be joined once again by our in-season NFC North expert and insider. Now in the off-season, you can find her over on Fox Sports covering the NFC North. You can find her on X or social media at Carmi V. Carmen, it is so great to have you back and be talking NFC North football again.
Yeah, I feel like I haven't stopped, but we definitely have stopped for the off-season, so I'm excited to get back on here and have some discussions about everything that's going on.
Yeah, since we last spoke, which was towards the end of the season, a few things have changed. So let's start and kind of go over all of that, because the NFC North is in a very interesting position. Let's start with the move that affected two teams in the NFC North, and I think one that came as a huge surprise to a lot of people, and that is that Aaron Jones, the all-time carrier of the G, or I guess the sombrero too, like just the consummate Green Bay Packer, is now a member of the Minnesota Vikings. This seems to happen every time a Packer leaves Green Bay. They go to an NFC North rival. Oftentimes it is Minnesota. It happened again. Aaron Jones is a Minnesota Viking. Your initial takeaways and your thoughts now that you've had a little bit of time to, kind of backpedal a bit and see the entire picture of what happened here.
Well, when the Green Bay Packers signed Josh Jacobs, I got super excited because I was like, oh my God, what a backfield, right? Like Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones. It never really entered my mind that there was going to be an issue re-signing Aaron Jones.
Right.
And, you know, you come to find out that Goody had to make the hard choice of, all right, what do we prioritize? Obviously, Josh Jacobs is younger. His production has historically been a little bit higher. I know he missed six games last year, but that hasn't been the norm for him in his career. So I get where Goody was coming from, and I understand having to make that tough decision. That's why the Packers can continually retool and still be competitive and not have to go through these rebuild years, because of the fact that Brian Gutekunst is willing to make these kinds of decisions.
Yep.
But it still sucks, because you know as well as anybody that Aaron Jones is the heartbeat of that, was the heartbeat of that locker room. He was the guy that everyone leaned on, not only because he was one of the only veterans on this roster, but because he's just a wonderful human. And I know that's a tough pill to swallow, because that you never want to see a guy like that in any other uniform, much less a division rival. But I also can't hate on Aaron Jones for going out and getting his money elsewhere, even if it was within the division. You know, this is a business, and the business decision was made to release him by the Green Bay Packers. So a business decision was made by Aaron Jones to take a good deal with the Minnesota Vikings. So I really didn't like seeing, you know, people on Packers Twitter being like, what? You had to do this, that? I'm like, that's not how this works. You take the contracts that are given to you and you where you feel like you're going to fit best. And like it or not, this is a team that Aaron Jones is very familiar with. So.
No, I'm totally on the same page as you. I kind of tweeted out, you know, basically, I certainly don't think Brian Gutekunst is a villain here. He has to do what's in the best interest of the Green Bay Packers. And if he feels that that is going with a younger running back who might have a little bit more tread on the tires, I certainly understand that. I don't believe that Aaron Jones is the villain here. Like you said, you have to go to the place that you get the most money from. And listen, even if it's not, even if he maybe could have gotten half a mil more from another team, if he wanted to go to Minnesota, he has every right to want to go to Minnesota. There could have been a variety of different reasons for that decision that he ultimately came to. My guess, knowing Drew Rosenhaus and how he operates, they probably got the best deal for Aaron Jones, and that's why he ended up in Minnesota. But either way, I don't see either of them as villains. This is business. And I think like we've reached the point now, Tom Brady, Tampa Bay Buccaneer, Brett Favre, Minnesota Viking, Aaron Rodgers, New York Jet, Joe Montana, Kansas City Chief. Like we can go on and on and on and on. Everyone's going to end up at another team at some point. It just ultimately is what it is. But to your point also, it does suck. It is a gut punch for Packer fans to see Aaron Jones in a purple sombrero doing the skull thing. Like that is just a vomit-inducing image and video for Packer fans. And obviously having to see him in that purple and yellow two times a year in Lambeau Field for one of those, that's going to be a tough pill to swallow as well. But I guess the other thing here, and we can kind of transition to talking into both of these teams as well, but how do you see, first of all, the change going in Green Bay, going from Aaron Jones to Josh Jacobs, and how do you see Aaron Jones fitting into Minnesota where they kind of needed that number one guy?
Yeah, I think that it's a really great match for Minnesota because they do need that number one guy, especially because it looks like they're going to have a new quarterback, or a young quarterback, I should say. They're definitely going to have a new quarterback, but a young quarterback that is going to need to rely on a veteran presence somewhere along the offense. And you have a pretty young offense there in Minnesota. So Aaron Jones brings a lot of reliability, and also he just brings that energy to a locker room that lets you know that he's got your back, and this is something that he's someone that you can lean on. So I really like it in Minnesota for Aaron Jones. And as far as the Packers go, I mean, Josh Jacobs is arguably the best running back in this league right now. I know, again, that he had some injury issues last year, but provided he's healthy this year, he can do it all. He can catch passes out of the backfield. He's also a really powerful runner. His vision is so good, especially between the tackles, and he can bounce to the outside too. I mean, this is everything you'd ever want in a running back. And this is, again, what the Green Bay Packers wanted even last year. And injuries got in the way of having a really stable backfield for Jordan Love to lean on. And now you have a veteran presence back there who, again, is going to be able to bail Jordan Love out of certain situations. He's not super bad in pass protection either, but then you now have A.J. Dillon back, so he can be a factor there as well. I like this 1-2 punch in the backfield. I think it's going to work out even better than obviously it did last year. And this is going to be a really good veteran presence for a very young Green Bay offense. I like it. I love it. You know, they went out and they spent the money, but also not as much of it was guaranteed. I think that the Green Bay Packers did a really good job of, they had these big contracts that could be worth a lot of money, but at the same time, they didn't commit a ton of money, relatively speaking, to either Josh Jacobs or Xavier McKinney, which I think is a huge win for them. And it's very on brand for Goody, I have to say. So they got really good deals out of this. And I have to think, going around on Packers Twitter today, a lot of this had to do with Jordan Love.
Yeah, no, very much so. Clearly, there's a want and a desire to play with a team that has a good young quarterback, and Jordan Love has already proven in a very short period of time that he is that. And to your point, one of the things I talk about all the time is, as a general manager, you need to leave yourself out. You never want to paint yourself into a corner and get stuck with contracts that you don't want to have. And the fact that they can get out of these contracts at some point with Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney, if it does come to that, of course, everyone would just love if both of them played at a, you know, Hall of Fame level for the next four seasons and they both just earned the contract, and that'd be a win for every side. But if things go wrong, if there's an injury, if there is something where they get the money and now they're complacent and don't play the same, you want to be able to get out of those. And Brian Gutekunst has left himself some flexibility to do so, dependent upon how they play and dependent upon how the team plays. If the team has some sort of change where it goes in a different direction, again, you can get yourself out of it as well. So I'm with you. I like both of the contracts. One of the things I haven't had the opportunity to talk too much about Josh Jacobs is, if you're, and you mentioned it, like all the things he brings to the table, if you're creating a player on Madden and you get to max out a lot of those Madden sliders, like Josh Jacobs, you talk about, he's got the juke move, he's got the sidestep, he's got the stiff arm, he's got the spin move, he's got the speed, he's got the truck stick, and then he can catch the ball out of the backfield. Like you said, he's got the great size, the great ball. He's literally like a create a player in Madden when he's on his game, when he's healthy. We saw that in a huge abundant amount in 2022, 2023. I still think it was so much to do with a lack of, you know, just everything with the Raiders, specifically
with the Raiders
run blocking. Everything's probably the good way to put it though. But I think he should have a much better situation in Green Bay.
I agree. I completely agree. And yeah, again, I don't want to hold last year against Josh Jacobs with all of the turmoil that was happening in Vegas. So I really think that, especially with a guy like Matt LaFleur as the play caller here, Josh Jacobs is going to thrive again in Green Bay. And obviously these fans are going to embrace him. It already seems like they have. And everybody was so excited too. I think they had this, I shared the same sentiment as I did, where they were super excited about Josh Jacobs. And then that excitement got dampened by Aaron Jones's departure, but we need to kind of come back around full circle and focus on what you do have. Life lessons, be grateful for what you have and not what you lost.
Totally agreed. Let's talk quickly about the rest of this Packers offseason. You mentioned Xavier McKinney also in, Keyshawn Nixon, A.J. Dillon back, Devondre Campbell, Aaron Jones, David Bakhtiari, Darnell Savage, John Runyon Jr., Jonathan Owens, all gone. Obviously, there's some other minor moves that took place there, but your key takeaways from this Packers offseason so far?
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Jones, I think, was the only one that was super unexpected because you kind of figured that all these guys were on the way out. I was really impressed that they went out, that Goody went out and he got himself a safety, because you do not want to leave that position in Jeff Hafley's defense up to a young guy. And that's very apparent. Jeff Hafley talked a lot about what he expects out of his safeties. They play a huge role and responsibility in his defenses, because I wasn't totally clear on if, when he said they need to be able to communicate to the rest of the defense, if that means that his safeties wear the green dot. Usually it's a middle linebacker that does that, but it's not unheard of to have safeties do that as well. So we're going to find that out pretty soon here. I think that's going to be very interesting. But then on top of that, Hafley expects his safeties to not only be able to come downhill and hit people in the box, but he also wants you to make plays on the ball. And Xavier McKinney has a resume built up where he has done all of those things, and he can really be that cornerstone piece of a defense that is undergoing quite a bit of change and needs it for that matter. So this is a really good, you know, foundational piece for the Green Bay Packers. They locked him up for 4 years. This makes a ton of sense. And again, you still didn't commit that much guaranteed money to him, so that you can't, if it doesn't end up working out and there's somebody else better on the market next season or 2 seasons from now, you can get out of that contract. It was an all around kind of slam dunk home run, I think, signing for the Green Bay Packers. And I'm so excited to see what Xavier McKinney looks like in Jeff Hafley's defense.
Same. I'm like literally salivating at the thought of the start of the season just so I can watch Xavier McKinney play. This is another Madden creative player that if you were building a Jeff Hafley perfect post safety, you're pretty much building him the way that you would like to see Xavier McKinney. And it's such an interesting thing, because so much of the conversation dominated Monday was the release of David Bakhtiari, the release of Aaron Jones, and the signing of Josh Jacobs, specifically because the Jones and Jacobs things were so unexpected. But going out and getting arguably the top safety, we can argue if Antoine Winfield was actually available or not, but either way, he's in the conversation.
Even he wasn't. I can tell you for certain that Antoine Winfield was never available. Thing.
Exactly. So Xavier McKinney, either way, you know, arguably the best safety available. And to go and get that and build that in the back of Jeff Hafley's defense is going to pay massive dividends and should be really one of the marquee signings of this entire free agent period, especially when you put it in, like you said, with the contract that he got, with the need that they had, the upgrade going from a group of safeties of Darnell Savage and Jonathan Owens and Rudy Ford to now having this established, really good, young, talented safety. I think it's going to be one of the biggest upgrades that any team really goes from one position to another. And I, like I said, I could not wait and be more excited about that change.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Minnesota Vikings, because they are also in a very interesting position. We talked about they get Aaron Jones. They bring in Sam Darnold, Jonathan Greinert, Andrew Van Ginkle, Blake Cashman, Jonathan Bullard, Jerry Tillery, a lot of people in that front seven of the defense. But they lose Kirk Cousins, which is a very major thing. He goes to Atlanta, of course. Danielle Hunter is gone to Houston. They basically have a Jonathan Greinert and Danielle Hunter trade. It was in free agency. Jordan Hicks is gone. Marcus Davenport is gone. DJ Wanham is gone. Harrison Smith restructures his contract. And then just before we start recording this on a Friday, the Vikings pull off a trade with the Houston Texans, trading their second round pick, a future second, and some other stuff to get up into the 23rd pick in the NFL draft. Notably, as of now, 2 picks ahead of the Green Bay Packers, but more notably, almost certainly to move up in the draft and probably grab one of these top 4 quarterbacks in the draft that could potentially now go 1, 2, 3, 4. Your thoughts, anywhere you want to go in this direction with the Minnesota Vikings?
It's so crazy to think that we're over a month removed from actual football, and it's already the start of free agency. But despite the end of football, the action on the floor is just beginning to heat up. It's tournament season, the NBA's in its final push towards the playoffs, and there is no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. So that means it's time to get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Right now, you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks. There are so many reasons why Prize Picks is my favorite fantasy app, but my absolute favorite aspect is the fact that I can log in, easily make my selections, and submit my entry within 60 seconds. Prize Picks completely changed my football season and my overall enjoyment of the game. Now, it's NCAA tournament time, and I sincerely cannot wait to combine two of my favorite activities, March Madness and Prize Picks. This week, I'm already keeping an eye out for Damian Lillard three-point makes, Nikola Jokic rebounds, and let's just say I plan on making a ton of Caitlin Clark picks over the next couple weeks. The best part is that right now you can download the app and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. So download that app right now and use code PACKADAY for that first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
So much, but I think that my hottest take when it comes to the Minnesota Vikings, and this has been the case since Kirk Cousins left for Atlanta, is that they're going to be fine because of the fact that this is a team that, yes, plan A was Kirk Cousins and he left, but plan B, coming up with a plan B is not hard when you have 9 draft selections and you have over $31 million in cap space.
Right.
This is the team that was in on trying to move up for CJ Stroud last year with a fraction of the capital they have this year. So there was not a doubt in my mind, even when they signed Sam Darnold, I'm like, this is your bridge veteran contingency option. They are going to be aggressive in the draft. And I talked about it on the NFL on Fox Pod yesterday. I think the episode went up really early this morning, but I said, send it. These guys are going to be aggressive when it comes to getting a quarterback in the draft. And sure enough, I wake up to the news that they've acquired another first round pick. Now, 23-11 is not going to be enough to move up into the top 5. At least I don't think so. But you still can leverage future capital. You can leverage players. There's going to be a package now that is much more attractive because you do have 2 first round picks to play with. And this is the whole chestnut checkers move. Now, it doesn't all happen at once. And this is Kwesi Adofu-Mensah gearing up and loading up to have even more valuable capital to give to a team that is going to be hard pressed to come out of one of those top 5 spots and not take a quarterback in this class, which is the best it's been in a few years. Other than that, I mean, yeah, you mentioned Jonathan Greenard and Jordan or Danielle Hunter kind of just like switching places.
Yeah.
I liked the Jonathan Greenard signing in a bubble, in a vacuum on its own before we knew that Marcus Davenport, I don't know why he wanted to say Marcus Davenport. He's a Detroit Lion now.
Yep.
Even before Danielle Hunter ended up going to Houston. But, you know, Greenard's a little bit younger and he had a ton of production last year. I think he flew a lot, flew under the radar for the most part. This is a guy that had 12.5 sacks last year. And again, I go back to the fact that Brian Flores isn't used to even having these blue chip pass rushers. If you look at his defenses in Miami and even in New England when he was the linebackers coach, he didn't have these guys to work with. He got really creative when it came to his pressure looks because of the fact he just didn't have the guys to beat the other team one-on-one. He now has some of those guys, and I still expect them to be very creative when it comes to which level they're bringing pressure from, delayed blitzes, all of that kind of stuff. I mean, obviously, Brian Flores lives and dies by the blitz, but they're all very creative, and I really enjoy watching his defenses. They also picked up a couple of linebackers, and again, like you mentioned, they kept Harrison Smith. This defense runs through linebackers and safeties, so you see the vision, and this is a defense that started to really come on strong last season, especially towards the end. This is the reason that the Minnesota Vikings are going to win games this year. They're going to have a young quarterback, and he's going to be under Kevin O'Connell and Josh McCown, who are both former quarterbacks themselves. But he's going, more importantly, this quarterback is going to be able to lean on a defense that is going to win them games. Between takeaways, between just preventing points on the board. That is the key here when it comes to Minnesota. So I really think, to bring this all back, the Vikings are going to be just fine. It's going to be a tough division. I'm not predicting they're going to win it, but they're going to be fine.
A couple things here. As much as it pains me to say, I really love the additions of Greenard and Van Ginkle. I think they are going to be perfect fits in this Minnesota defense. I actually like Jonathan Bullard as well. And I think him and Tillery are going to provide some rotational depth there. I like what they did in their front seven. Blake Cashman, another really nice pickup. That's intriguing to me. As a Packer fan, what potentially makes me nervous, I've gone through and watched a ton of Caleb Williams, a ton of Drake May. There's some buzz on Friday that maybe they move up to New England and grab Drake May with New England's number three pick and get Drake May. Yeah. Every quarterback that comes out could potentially bust, but the upside for Caleb Williams and Drake May are both incredibly high. And now you have them potentially both in the NFC North. If that does come to fruition, that could be a very interesting long-term NFC North with Jordan Love, Drake May, and Caleb Williams. We will see what happens, but this is going to make for a very interesting draft if Minnesota does get in that top. Or either way, they're going to end up with a rookie quarterback. We know Chicago is going to end up with one. It's going to be a very interesting NFC North moving forward. Let's quickly transition to Chicago. DeAndre Swift is in. They traded a fourth-round pick for Keenan Allen in a big trade on Thursday. Gerald Everett's in. Kevin Byard's in. Jonathan Owens from the Packers. Coleman Shelton at center. Jalen Johnson is back, of course, on that huge contract. That was a totally necessary and great deal for them. Darnell Mooney is gone. Justin Jones is gone for whatever that worth. And then you've got Justin Fields sort of just hanging in the balance. And as we're recording this, still not traded. Again, your overall thoughts on the Bears offseason so far. Oh, by the way, they have the number one overall pick too.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, and I wrote a story that's not going to make me many friends in Chicago yesterday, and it was basically like the overall sentiment was that the market for Justin Fields is shrinking. Like, there's no such thing as a shrinking market. The market was never there,
right?
And it still isn't there, and it won't be, I don't think, until the draft rolls around and one of these teams doesn't get a quarterback that needed one. And or this unfortunately stretches all the way out into training camp where you start dealing with injuries and people going down. And maybe that makes Justin Fields a little bit more of a viable option for different teams. I don't necessarily know that that's going to happen because that would require Justin Fields and Caleb Williams to coexist on the same roster for a while, which I don't think is good for the locker room. And as an organization, Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus really stress that culture, and every player we talk to talks about how tight-knit of a group they are. The easiest way to create division is having Justin Fields still on the roster if and when you bring in a new quarterback. I don't think that's going to happen, but the Bears are going to have to let Justin Fields go for probably a day three pick at this point, and it's going to be worth it. I maintain that it's going to be worth it. I've been saying for months now, I didn't know what the trade market was going to be for Justin Fields because it takes two to tango. And what the league is telling you right now is Justin Fields isn't anybody's first option. He's not even anybody's second option. He's in this weird middle ground because he is still under contract with the Chicago Bears. So it takes assets to pull him away from that. And then on top of that, he's seen as a starting quarterback by the organization, the Bears organization. He thinks himself he's a starting quarterback. And that kind of complicates things when you talk about where he's going to go and is he going to be okay with being a backup? I know his agent, David Mulligetta, is probably not a guy that's going to be complacent in something like that. He's going to try and get Justin the best deal possible. He's one of the best agents in the game. So it's going to be very interesting. I honestly see something to the effect of maybe Justin Fields going to Philadelphia or going to Baltimore and backing up Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jackson. I think I don't know if that's going to happen, but I think that that's an ideal scenario because I also feel like that can boomerang Justin Fields into a starting role after a year of being under one of those guys and kind of realizing and understanding how to make the transition into being a well-rounded quarterback that we've seen both of those guys do, especially in the case of Lamar Jackson. So I don't think that Justin Fields' career is done by any stretch of the imagination. I think he absolutely has the potential to grow into a really good quarterback for someone. It's not going to happen in Chicago. And that's kind of been what I've said all along. It's not that I hate Justin Fields, despite what, again, Bears fans think. I think he's an extremely talented player, and maybe going somewhere, being a backup for a year, really kind of getting his head on straight and figuring out how to be a quarterback in this league without the pressure that comes with being a starting quarterback, especially in Chicago.
Yep.
I think that would be good for him. And I think that we could see, him again, become a starter in this league again, just a little bit in the future.
Totally agreed. And just, the starting spots are just, they're running out. And the ones that need starting quarterbacks have top three picks. Or like Minnesota's going to move up. San Francisco, another, like they drafted Trey Lance, a mobile quarterback. I think they like that aspect. Sam Darnold is gone. Obviously they have Brock Purdy, but they kind of have that need for a backup there too. Maybe that's something that they could consider. But either way, I don't see this perfect position coming where like there's just this perfect starting spot and some team's going to give a premium pick. Like you said, it's a day three. And look at what some of these quarterbacks that have not had the success starting. Sam Howell basically went for like a day three pick in the aggregate with the pick swap.
And he had 4,000 yards last year.
Mac Jones goes for what, a sixth round pick is something like that. So there has not been the value for these quarterbacks who have started and struggled. And you know, there's an argument there that maybe Justin Fields is better than those, but again, the market hasn't materialized that way, and there's just not many spots left available. Really quick. Were you going to say something on that?
No.
Okay, perfect. Really quick. Detroit Lions, a less interesting offseason so far. They did go out and get DJ Reader recently, which I think is a big pickup. You mentioned it earlier. Marcus Davenport is there as well. They also kind of get a sneaky, nice pickup in Amik Robertson, who's a nice corner who can play both outside and in the slot. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is gone. Jonah Jackson is gone. Those are two pretty big losses. But quick takeaways from the Lions offseason so far?
Well, yeah, and they traded for Carlton Davis with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah, so they have now, really beefed up their secondary. Obviously, secondary depth was their issue last year, and it was the year before for that matter, too. So they're trying desperately to figure out how to make sure and insulate themselves from injury, because injuries are going to happen. And what I love about their approach this year is that not only are they addressing the secondary, but they are also addressing the D-line up front, because that can also insulate you from putting pressure on the back end of a defense. And I really, really love the pickup of DJ Reader. I found out live on the NFL on Fox podcast yesterday, and I probably got way too excited over a D-tackle. Especially good. One that, you know, is on the twilight of his career. But I was excited because of what it means for Aiden Hutchinson, especially hoping Marcus Davenport can stay healthy, because that's a really great, you know, two bookend pass rushers on either side of this Detroit line. That would be an ideal scenario for Detroit to be able to have both of those guys at their disposal. But DJ Reader is so good on that interior. He's also a good run stopper, but he's really good at eating up space because he's absolutely massive. That's going to create a lot more one-on-one matchups for Aiden Hutchinson. And of course, Marcus Davenport as well, forces offensive lines to make some really tough decisions when it comes to defending these guys, or blocking these guys, I should say. So I really, really like that. And if they can be productive, the Detroit Lions can be productive up front. Again, that takes so much pressure off the back level, and it makes it so they don't have to, you know, be the ones to save the play and all that stuff. As good as Aaron Glenn is with his different coverages and the way he mixes things up back there, I really like this whole defense now, top to bottom, when it comes to Detroit. And they knew they were going to have to continue to get better, and I really think they did that.
I think so too. He's a good signing. I know we got to get you out of here, but really quick, you wrote a great article on Jordan Love's potential contract and how Green Bay should go about that. Obviously don't want to, you have to spill everything here. Everyone should go and check it out over at foxsports.com. But yeah, your quick thoughts on how Green Bay should handle this Jordan Love contract this offseason.
It's interesting because there's precedent. You look at the contract that they gave Aaron Rodgers after his first year as starter. It doesn't necessarily translate, because obviously the quarterback market has absolutely exploded and you have to adjust for quarterback inflation. I also think that you've seen Jordan Love bet on himself. You saw him do that with the 2-year contract rather than, you know, Green Bay picking up the 5th-year option. I think that he's going to continue to do that. So there's kind of a push and pull of, I think the organization is going to try to sign him to a long-term deal, as they should. But I also think Jordan Love is going to be like, hey, quarterback salaries are only going up. I want to be able to make sure I can restructure or get a piece of that pie within the next 5 years. I don't know that he's going to sign anything for more than 5 years because of that fact. And that would be entirely his right, because again, that's betting on himself. That's betting on him to continue to ascend and then get a huge payday in another 5 years. So check out the article. I kind of explored just a few different options and then detailed what Green Bay has done in the past and see if we can glean anything from that on what they're going to end up doing with Jordan Love. But they should also get this extension done sooner rather than later, because like I said, the price is yesterday's price is not today's price.
It's only going up. And I do think it's interesting. The top NBA players are going more to like the one and then a player option sort of deals, because they know every single year they can become a free agent. Every single year they can get a bigger deal. To me, it's only a matter of time before these top, top, top tier quarterbacks follow a symbol. Because even if they get hurt, like a Kirk Cousins tears his Achilles, he still gets a massive, massive, massive deal. There's almost like no downside. Somebody's
even
still
though he's on the other side of 35. It's incredible.
Exactly. Carmen, you're the absolute best. Go make sure to follow all of her work over on Fox Sports. You can find her at Carmi V. Anything else you want to plug on the way out?
To go check out the NFL on Fox podcast. That episode, I think, like I said, is on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast in an audio format. And yeah, just follow me on Twitter and Instagram.
Go check it out. Follow all of her stuff. She's absolutely amazing. Always appreciate her time. That's going to do it for us. You can follow the podcast at Packaday Podcast. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.